Thank you, worship team, Beta, for that lovely, powerful way of singing our praises to our God. But there are times when we might feel it's very difficult to praise our God. Jehoshaphat found himself in that condition. Do you remember Jehoshaphat? It's very special to me. And I don't know exactly why, but from very young age when I first saw the story of Jehoshaphat, I always loved hearing that story over and over. The thing about Bible characters that I always want to find, and since I was young, I would always look for it. I wanted one that didn't ever fall and do something shameful. Have you ever felt like that? Like I look through there, I try to find who is it that didn't do anything. You know, Joseph, you think of him as quite noble. He still messed up. He still had so much pride in the beginning. And there are so many more. I won't list out all their sins. That's not any fun. But what I would like to mention is Jehoshaphat seemed like a man who was all the time on it. And yet he did kind of mess up. I mean, he went out foolishly with Ahab after he even sought the Lord. His whole big deal of his life was seeking the Lord. So when Ahab didn't want to seek counsel of the Lord, Jehoshaphat, the two kings together going out, wanted to go out to war. Jehoshaphat said, "We need to seek the counsel of the Lord." Oh, okay, Ahab was looking around for that idea. Then when they finally heard it and heard the counsel of the Lord, don't go out to that particular battle in an earlier chapter, then they went anyways. And Jehoshaphat knew better, but foolishly he went along. But wonder of wonders, God blessed Jehoshaphat. And though he didn't put on the kingly robes, and I mean, he did put on the kingly robes, and Ahab did not. Ahab was the one they were targeting. They almost shot with an arrow, I guess, Jehoshaphat, but they didn't. They saw, oops, wait, that's not him, and then they killed Ahab after all, and Jehoshaphat made it. So when he came back to his kingdom, he was kind of rebuked quite badly because he hadn't done well, but he had this for him. He sought the Lord with his whole heart. And so another time comes and a battle is on them, only this battle is kind of worse. They're not going out to seek it. It's coming to them. All these armies were coming against them in 2 Chronicles 20. And it was kind of like, whoa, way scary. There is nothing at all that we can do to defend ourselves against these vast armies. It was chaos. It was madness. What is going to happen? We're going to be annihilated. You could think all those things. I don't know how Jehoshaphat first thought about it, but in the end, he said, let's go to God in prayer. And he wanted to completely surrender himself to God. And so he didn't do it alone. That was another thing about Jehoshaphat. He brought in the whole kingdom. They all came to the temple. Families, father, mother, children, they stood there before God. And Jehoshaphat prayed. And I don't think it was like we sometimes pray when we, you know, one person prays and maybe everybody's going to pray, you know, and then you don't really hear what the first person is praying. But not in this case. Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer. And I really love the songs we sang today because that's how his prayer started out. His prayer started out, "O Lord God our Father, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations. Power and might are in your hand." I just love all those words. Everything was going against Jehoshaphat. It was confusing. Why would they come? But he praised God. That was his first thought. You are powerful, God. You are full of might. You rule everything. You rule all the nations. Do we forget? God doesn't need to be reminded. He knows. He knows he is. But we need to remind ourselves when everything is hopeless, when nothing will go right, when there is no answer, there's no hope. I mean, there is no resource, there is nothing. Oh, but God. Do we ever say, oh, but God? God who is almighty, he is all loving, he is all powerful. There's nothing outside of his realm that can't be dealt with. So Jehoshaphat came to him, and I love what Jehoshaphat does next. He also reminds God, you know, God, you gave Abraham this land. And you know, he was your friend. Do you ever love reading about Abraham and wish you were God's friend? When I was a kid, I would just think, oh, I wonder if I could be a friend of God. If God would let me be his friend. I didn't know he wanted it more than I did. And he wanted to also be my friend. But you know, the thing about Jehoshaphat, he reminded God, well, we're all your friends, you know, because we all descended and you gave us this land. It all is what you gave us. And now somebody wants to steal it. Somebody's coming to take it away, the gift, the promise. Is there anything in your life that is stealing the joy, that is stealing the warmth of God's love from your heart? Who's robbing you of peace? Who's robbing you of God's comfort? It's not your neighbor. We sometimes think it's someone else. It's the enemy. And sometimes things come against us like it did to Jehoshaphat, you know? All those armies. Hopeless. Does it ever seem like everything bad is hitting you at one time? And like you're under some sort of attack and they, whoever they are trying to steal. Steal what God gave you. Sometimes we feel we have lost our relationship with God. God gave us that. It's ours because he gave it. Because of his grace, his mercy, it's ours. Even Abraham, God's friend, who received the land, it was by God's grace because he believed and trusted. Is there a time in your life when you couldn't trust God's love for you because you were too miserable? You had done too many things wrong, or you just were plain a miserable person, not worthy? I know that people in ministry often feel that that's the case of what's going on with them. I don't know if you're noticing that they're highlighting these days how many men and women in ministry are falling away from ministry and also don't even want to keep on living. And today when I come to you with my heart to say, God is on his throne and you are his. Don't let the enemy steal from you that peace and that joy. It belongs to you. It's your right. You're his child. He first gave it to Abraham, his friend. And now we are children of the promise. So those gifts of the Spirit, those presence of Jesus symbols, they are yours. They belong to you. And so Jehoshaphat stood there. And all the people stood there before God. And he said how bad it was. They're coming. They're coming to take it. And we don't know what to do. We have no power to face this vast army. I've been there, have you? No power to face this. And so we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know how we've been thinking about Jesus, keeping our eyes on him. Are your eyes on Jesus? Sometimes we all think differently at different times about what he looks like. Does he look like that gentle, meek and mild, the children coming and you're sitting on his lap as a child and you're being held like those children? Or do you feel afraid a little bit because you don't understand him when he takes the whip and drives out the money changers? Or sometimes he doesn't talk to you. Who is this God that I started out to serve? Who is this Savior that gave me his life and now I can't hear him? Sometimes we're like that. There was a person they called a saint, Saint Teresa of Avila, 1500 something. I know the scholars here know all the dates of these things, but anyhow, I really like her. She did some funny things, a little bit crazy, but I really like her. She became very, very ill with malaria and lots and lots of pain. I guess it was just so great, but she kept feeling God's presence close. Then she became under interrogation. Spanish Inquisition was coming through, and I don't know all what happened to her, but apparently quite horrific experiences, and it was a very frightful time. And she said to the Lord, why? Why is this happening? What's going on? And God said, this is how I treat all my friends. And Teresa said, then, Lord, it's no wonder you have so few. I thought that might lighten your load a little bit if you just have a little relationship with God that can sort of express yourself like Teresa did. So Joshua, he waited. So imagine you're waiting the whole, all the people are waiting. Joshua didn't have anything like behind him, like what he's going to do if God doesn't show up. What is he going to do? He doesn't have anything like that. He's just waiting. What's God going to do? And then Jahaziel, sort of an unknown guy, comes forward with the word of the Lord. And so he said, don't worry, God's going to fight this battle for you. And if you go ahead and read this story, you can see what happens. But here's what Jehoshaphat said as he listened, and then they all bowed down and thanked the Lord. They worshiped him. They thanked him. And he said, have faith. This is what Jehoshaphat said in response to Jahaziel, who had the word of God, who wasn't somebody, you know. He's just a person. He said, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. In the next line, I've learned across the years, I've loved it. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Sometimes we think we have a corner on what we know about God, and it's hard to listen to someone else. But what if God says, I have a word from you? Maybe, I love how we highlight children on our campus. Maybe it'll be from a child. Maybe it'll be from a new student. Maybe it'll be from someone who doesn't know the Lord. But something they say, he had a gem for you. He had something to give you. Something that was an answer to your heart's cry. It happened to me one time when we were in Africa. Lynn and I had little children. I mean, they were 3 years old and 7 months when we first went. And then as they grew in that first year, we would take them in the village. We would walk up and down the village. You know, it was mud road and huts and everything. And we would just walk up and down and talk and try to learn the language that way. That's probably why I can't talk Tagalog yet. I don't walk up and down a village somewhere and learn the language. Anyways, so we did that. And so it was fun. It was great. And we met along the way a witch doctor. And we would visit her. And enjoyed that very much because we didn't tell her we were missionaries or anything. She probably figured it out, but all we did was just enjoy learning language from her. You know, like, what have I just done? And I jump, and then she would say, Tlula. So then we would say, Tlula. You know, that's how we learned, word by word. And so we did that to learn. And it was great. And then Lynn went back to the laboratory to work in the hospital. And then I would go back to see her often. I really loved seeing her. I didn't know language very well. Lynn was better at learning. And I was, you know, always a little slower. But I just loved being with her anyways. We talked and we shared and she would show me things. And I kept trying to be really careful. I didn't want to see expression of demonic kind of stuff. I didn't want any of that, but just life, you know, I just wanted to get to know her. And then there came a time when I couldn't find him. God. I would pray and there was a ceiling. I would ask for his presence, couldn't get it. I would confess my sins. I thought, I'm such a horrible person. I can't find God. I'm really in a mess. I don't know how to find him. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And then some ladies got together to pray. And I was going to bring a coffee table up here to kind of sit on the floor and show you how I'd sit on the floor. I was younger then. You know, sit on the floor around a coffee table. And I was on the floor. Some of the other older missionaries took chairs like I do now. And so I was on the floor around the coffee table. And I didn't know if I was going to share or not. And so I just said, well, I can't find God right now. Everything is dark, and I know I must have sinned something that I've forgotten, or I don't know what to do. It was so precious for all my life. I will remember this very, very precious moment that I'm sharing with you. Frances Courtney Smith. She was an older lady missionary who was delightful. But she just said, oh, Sherry, she said, I know what's happened. You've been in the enemy's territory, and you kind of didn't. She said it so sweetly. She didn't say it like this, but I knew. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know the power I was stirring up. And I learned more later as time went on. But she said, you've been meddling there, and you've become friends with the witch doctor. And even though she may be friendly to you, the enemy doesn't like it. And there is a cloud over you. So I couldn't hardly pray. But I just kind of wept and put my head down on the coffee table and cried. And she prayed out loud. And she just prayed that the blood of Jesus would come and cover me and break the power of the enemy and come and set me free. And it was just like a thunderclap, almost. It's like I wondered everyone couldn't hear it in the room. And the clouds just parted. And there was just sunshine. I mean, I visualized everything, so I just could see the sunshine. I knew he was there again. I knew everything was because the blood of Jesus covered me, not because I did anything good, and not because I did anything wrong was I in this mess. But the enemy was against me. But God was for me, and God is for you. Don't let the enemy steal what's yours. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord Jesus, you are here. We need you. The enemy wants to steal our joy, wants to steal the love from you, wants to steal your peace that you've given us. But we, Lord, know you. And you said we were your friend. And each student here, each faculty member, each person who works on this campus belongs to you, and I pray now with your power and your might, as we thank you for that, will you come and break the power of the enemy Let the blood of Jesus cover each one and come. Bring us near your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit and your peace, and restore to us the joy of our salvation. Amen.